it was a traumatic event. It was very emotional. People were crying and people were angry and people were afraid. And I think people still feel that way. I think the initial impacts of the disaster have kind of moved into a long-term fear and questioning over how the Mount Polley mine will be handled and how other mines in BC will be handled. How will this make change to make things safer, to make things healthier? You know, how will recommendations that are coming out of this be implemented? How are we going to ensure that this never happens again anywhere else?
Had there been discussion beforehand that something like this might happen, or was this just totally out of the range of possibilities?
We did ask different people, so different people from the Ministry of Energy and Mines and Mount Polley Mine, kind of in passing, well, what's the worst case scenario? Like, what if a disaster happens? And the kind of collective response was that it never would. It was an impossible event until it happened.
Now, a month or two ago, some of the provincial officials were saying, oh, it didn't really do that much. There wasn't anything poisonous in there. It was just silt. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely not. The tailings facility, it's a facility to hold mine waste. That's what breached. That was what was released into the environment. It was released into waterways. It was released into the surrounding forest. It was released into a salmon-bearing ecosystem. It was released into this ecosystem that is very precious within our territory, but that ripples out through the waterways to the rest of the world. It reaches the ocean.
Are people feeling they can harvest and eat fish from there?
Last summer, our community and many others along the Fraser chose not to harvest salmon because of the fear that it wouldn't be safe to eat. There were tests that were done that showed that the salmon flesh was fine. They told us not to eat any of the organs or the eggs, which was concerning because those eggs are the eggs that will be, you know, laid to spawn. What is going to happen to those salmon? So it's going to be several years before we know what the long-term effects are. So last year, it was the first time that we had basically a zero salmon fishery in many of the communities. And in our own community, we were having, for the first time in our history, faced with the prospect of having to buy salmon to feed our families.
Tell me about a normal salmon run there.
Well, I remember growing up on the Fraser River, and we fish at night on the river. So it's in a canyon, you know, along the canyons. We fish at night when it's cooler, the salmon are moving, and they can't see the nets. So we dip net fish along the river, along the banks. It's very steep. The water's very fast. And, you know, pack the salmon up the hills. It's a community, a family event. We would eat salmon eggs in the morning for breakfast. We would process all morning. We would hang salmon in the smokehouse. We would jar salmon. We would freeze it. We would bake it. We would, you know, all of these different methods. And last year, the smokehouses were empty. The freezers were empty. The jars were empty. And it was really compared to a death in our communities. And we had different cultural ceremonies to address it as a death and to have grieving ceremonies. It was devastating.
And are there concerns about animals that browse along the river, that there might be things that would, you know, affect moose or deer or anything else?
Absolutely. It's not only the salmon, but also, of course, all of the other species who depend on salmon beyond humans, but also thinking about how the metals will be taken up into the environment, if they will be bioavailable within the lake, what's happening with the smaller species, you know, when you get down to the zooplankton and the phytoplankton and how that's going to ripple into this chain of ecosystem. But beyond that as well, when you think about the wider community, like the community of Likely drew water directly from the lake. They let their gardens go, big organic gardens. They didn't feel safe to, you know, give the water to their pets. A lot of people were very, very concerned. But when you think about all of the watersheds that are connected through this system, there are a lot of farms along the Fraser River that draw water from the river to water their crops. And so in addition to all of the pollution that's already in the river from pulp mills and logging runoff and ranching and all of these things, now you have 25 million cubic meters of tailings in the environment that's part of this water system.